Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 9th of January. A couple articles in the Boston Globe and the New York Times yesterday caught our attention, partially because we weren't aware that this was going on. A few years ago, some school districts started reporting students' body mass scores. States including Delaware, South Carolina, Tennessee, Pennsylvania fill out BMI reports. Legislators in states like New York have proposed including them when you get your report cards, and some individual school districts have done the same. There are some parents concerned about this. Let me just read the beginning of the New York Times article yesterday. It comes from Blossburg, Pennsylvania. Six-year-old Carlin Dunbar barely touched her dinner, but not for time-honored six-year-old reasons. The pasta was not the wrong shape. She didn't have an urgent date with her dolls. The problem was the letter that Carlin discovered tucked inside her report card, saying that she had a body mass index in the 80th percentile. The first grader did not know what index or percentile meant, or that children scoring in the 5th through 85th percentiles are considered normal, while those scoring higher are at the risk of being or already are overweight. And yet she became convinced that her teachers were chastising her for overeating. Congress recently prescribed a fitness plan for students. Districts participating in the federal school lunch program had to have had a policy in place by the start of the 2006-2007 school year, because there is a great deal of concern about childhood obesity rates. 15% of children in this country age 6 through 11 are obese, and we're going to be talking about the best way to address this problem. It is interesting that some of these school districts that have BMI reports also serve pizza and sweet rolls and lots of soda in their schools. We're going to be speaking this hour with Michelle Smith Beckley. And Michelle Smith Beckley is a clinical dietitian, community dietitian with the New Kids Program to better address prevention and community needs. She works with Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, and she also is a clinical dietitian within a multidisciplinary team for management of pediatric overweight and related comorbid conditions. We'll be interested in hearing from your districts around the state of Wisconsin to find out what plans your district has put in place to deal with this issue of overweight children in our society. And our phone number, I think we'll get a lot of calls on this, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee line is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Hi, Michelle. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
What do you think of this idea, which I didn't know was happening, of including a BMI report along with a student's report card? Is this a good idea?
It is certainly going to depend on how the school handles their individual decision to go forward with that. I think the situations outlined in the New York Times article is looking at a situation where it was done poorly, where the school didn't really have a plan as far as how they were going to best inform the students and the parents of what the body mass index represented and how they could best follow up with it. It was just presented as a number to the family.
Right. And could have serious consequences if students were concerned that they were high. They could stop eating. And we also have a problem with children being underweight in addition to children being overweight, right?
Correct. In my line of work, I'm always seeing the children that are overweight, but there are certainly those that are underweight also and would not want to draw additional negative attention to those students to cause additional anxiety or worry.
Yeah. Michelle, give us your assessment of this. Why is it that 15% of children in this country ages 6 to 11 are obese?
The philosophy that has kind of come out of the New Kids program is that it is not one specific cause. And many people want to point the finger and saying, well, don't you just think that it, you know, it may be sweetened beverages, or it's the lack of physical activity, or it's the lack of nutrition education that students are receiving. And what we have seen through our experience in working with the pediatric patients and their families is that it's truly a combination of all of that. Mm-hmm. And because it is such a complex issue in the causes and factors leading to the pediatric overweight, that it's also going to be a very complex resolution and improvement in trying to turn this epidemic around.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though, when we look at the numbers from 20 years ago, that the obesity rates were not nearly what they are now, which would seem to me it would make it easier for us to determine what the causes are. We're doing something now that we didn't do then.
Right. And the causes that we've most commonly seen through the families that we've worked with in clinic come down to difference in nutritional choices, greater volumes of food that are being consumed now due to larger portion sizes, a decrease in physical activity, an increase in the sedentary activity like TV or movie viewing, playing video games, watching television, and then the frequency of the foods consumed away from home that generally are lower in nutritional value, and just the lack of family connectedness and the lack of time for families to sit down and have family meals.
Mm-hmm. Could we take on this issue of vending machines? CDC report a few years ago said 98% of American high schools have the machines, 75% of middle schools, and more than 40% of elementary schools. And some articles said, and I believe this is probably true, it's not uncommon for high school students to live on a lunch of ice cream sodas and French fries.
It's very true. And just even as I've worked with different high school or teenage students through the clinic, it's appalling to find out what choices they have available to them in order to try to make choices for lunch. And you come to find out that some schools have now gotten to the point of just multiple fast food options are available within that school lunchtime, and they don't even have the traditional, what I remember as a lunch line of a hot entree and fruit and vegetable and milk.
Right. And that's because of money, I guess, isn't it? Schools get money for that.
Yes. And, you know, it's very individualized to every school district and why they make the decisions that they do. And, you know, they're hopefully keeping the interest of the students in mind, but yes, the schools are rewarded for, you know, allowing that brand name into the school.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that we're hearing is happening with many districts around the country is that physical education programs are being cut, and many students just have PE for half a year. You know, I don't want to talk about the good old days too much, but we had PE every single day, and it seems to me as though if you're young, you need to work off your energy. You'll be able to not only control your weight better, but concentrate better if you have some kind of exercise every day.
Certainly. And I think, you know, this also comes into the greater demands for the educational requirements that students need to achieve. And in order to try to meet all those needs within the, you know, 8-class-hour day for the students, physical education, along with some of the other programming, is often the first to be cut.
Right. Let's go back to the BMI for just a moment. Can you tell me what that measures and if it is a good measurement of whether or not you're overweight and run a risk of being obese, becoming obese?
BMI stands for Body Mass Index, and it is an assessment of how we carry our weight in proportion to how tall we are. And I think most people are familiar with what the set guidelines are for adults, that if you have a BMI of 25 to 30, you're considered overweight, and if you have a BMI of 30 or higher, you're considered obese. Even though we don't use the term obese for the pediatric population, it's considered at risk of overweight or overweight for the pediatric population. And because of growth patterns within children, we do not have set and defined numbers for the body mass index in the pediatric population. It is plotted on a growth chart that is usually within the physician's office.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a bad measurement of whether or not we are overweight or could be overweight. It's just the way this is being administered that may be questionable.
It is one measurement and one tool that can be used, but I think it needs to be used carefully and not used as the sole measurement of what a child's health status may be. One way that the BMI can be skewed or kind of misinterpreted is if you have a very athletic person who has more muscle mass, they are going to appear to have a heavier weight when, in fact, they have very lean body mass because they have more coming from muscle.
Oh.
So you'll often find at the high school wrestlers, if you would calculate a BMI for them, yes, they have a higher weight, and in comparison to their height, it's going to calculate as a higher BMI, but they may be perfectly healthy.
Mm-hmm. I was reading about that in an article about Hillary Swank, I think, yesterday, who had gained ate a tremendous amount of protein for the boxing movie that she was in and lost it for this recent movie about education where she plays a teacher, but it was muscle. And she just mm-hmm. stopped eating a lot of protein because she obviously wasn't overweight.
Right,
in that
right.
film. All right, let's welcome phone calls. I think we also would like to get an idea of what Wisconsin is doing, and you are living in Wisconsin and other areas in the Midwest and can give us an idea of what's happening in your district. It's a hodgepodge, really. Congress prescribed a fitness plan for students. As I said at the beginning of the show, districts are required, those who participate in the federal school lunch program, and most districts do, have to have had a policy in place addressing wellness for young people. It includes goals for nutrition education, physical activity, other school-based activities, and then they must establish a plan for measuring the effectiveness of their wellness policy. This has been receiving some attention because there are some students, and some states are trying to make this mandatory, where along with a report card, students are getting body mass index reports, which has some parents rather upset, and students upset too, those who feel that they are being labeled as overweight and obese. They don't know how to read these exactly, and indeed they may be just fine, but as a result, you know, they're not eating, which is also not a good thing. How do we address this problem, and how are your school districts addressing this problem? Here's the phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Should you be joining us in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee line is 227-2050. I would suggest that you call in as early as you can because then you won't be disappointed by not being able to get through. Boyd from Milwaukee is our first caller. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen. Great show. Very important topic. Two books that I read that you may have known of, Fast Food Nation and Fatland, How Americans Became the Fattest People in the World. You know, they dealt with the whole thing of big business, in particular the fast food industry, but also a lot of the places that sell candy bars and what have you, how they really did, you know, tie into the, they tried to market to the schools and the universities, and I know you and your guests touched off on that. Has any of the fast food businesses, maybe obviously they're aware of it, tried to make some reforms, or are they still looking at the bottom line as, well, we got to make a profit regardless?
As far as the fast food companies, I'm not aware of any action that they have specifically taken to try to help improve the health of the youth at this point. The one group that we can start to support are the major bottlers of beverages, along with past President Bill Clinton, have formed the Alliance for a Healthier Generation and have outlined steps, I believe, to take effect in the beginning of the 2008 school year, in where the amount of sweetened beverages available to students within the school setting will be limited based on the grades that they are within.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for your call.
Sure.
We'll take more phone calls in a moment. Our guest, as we look at obesity and what school districts around the country are doing to address overweight children in their schools and obese children. Michelle Smith Beckley is our guest, clinical dietitian with the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. She is community dietitian with the New Kids Program to better address prevention and community needs. And she also works with a multidisciplinary team for management of pediatric overweight and related comorbid conditions. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, we have a real education theme going for this Tuesday. 5 years ago, No Child Left Behind went into effect with goals to increase student achievement and to close achievement gaps. We'll be looking at the renewal of the Act, what the successes have been, and there have been successes, and what principals and teachers are saying are the drawbacks of No Child Left Behind. That's coming up second hour. All right, continuing our phone calls now, Donna from Libertyville. Hi, Donna.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Fine, Donna. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Good.
Here in Illinois, we have mandatory gym classes every day, and I have three daughters in, ranging from 15 to 20, and I have always walked that thin line talking about weight, mm-hmm. you know, because of anorexia, and since junior high, they have been told about their body mass index in gym class. And my question is, you know, how do you balance? You have healthy foods at home, but my concern is all three of my daughters have a different body type. For instance, maybe one, I know it sounds funny to say, but might have a flat stomach but is, you know, wider through the hips, and then they're concerned about that, and it's hard sometimes to separate that. So I was wondering if you just had some suggestions or thoughts on that.
I would continue to have you support each of your daughters in their different body shapes and their body types. That's how we're created, and we're certainly all going to have those different shapes, and we're not going to become the supermodels that are plastered onto magazines, because we all know that those are airbrushed to reach that perfection. I think I would discourage your daughters from focusing on their body shape constantly, but helping and supporting them in the healthy habits that they're living day to day. If they have already, or they're within schools that are including the daily physical education, that is going to be an education point to them on the importance of daily physical activity. Within the foods and meals that are provided in the home, I think, you know, looking at a balance of all different food types and not setting any foods as being absolutely forbidden or not being able to have them, but looking at them in proportion to how often you have those with other more nutritious foods.
I think it's great they have PE every day, isn't it, Donna?
Very much so. Now, I do have to say that the year they take driver's ed, it's just, you know, they'll just have gym for half of the year.
Uh-huh.
But it always has been important for them. Like I said, the biggest problem is sometimes when they do the BMI in school, they don't send a note home to the parents, but they do let the children know. But with the girls, it's always this, you know, matter of stress.
Right. Oh, I'm sure it is. They probably sit around the lunchroom and discuss, share what their
exactly.
scores are and worry about being too heavy, et cetera.
The other key point to remember with the BMI or body mass index is that it was designed to look at over time. It's to look at the trend in which it follows. Just as children have been plotted for their height and weight since the moment that they were born, the pediatricians or doctors are always looking at the trend in which they're following, and there's an allowable range or what's viewed as being healthy for height and weight for both genders at every age, and it's just looking that children follow that. The BMI was designed in the same way so that we're following a trend. It's not to be a telltale marker of a person's health at one point in time.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Donna, so much for your call. We go next to Jim from Oshkosh. Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
We got a bad phone line, Jim, so.
Okay. A little better now?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. I want to disagree just a little bit with your guest. And what she said was, you know, this is a combination of factors. And I think it's really primarily children's play habits that is the real problem. Back 25, 30 years ago, we didn't eat that much different than the kids do now. We would sit down and pound down a whole bag of potato chips. We drank gallons of soda. All of the sins of today, maybe they're a little worse today, but I don't think they're that much worse than they were back then. Teenagers and preteens ate just as bad back then. The difference is you would eat that whole bag of Jay's potato chips, then you'd go out and you'd play a pickup basketball game. You don't see children outside unsupervised without parents hovering over them in some sort of organized league going out and playing. You don't. When's the last time you drove past a field and saw a bunch of kids playing football with no adults around? How often do you see, I mean, back 25 years ago, every garage had a basketball hoop, and during the summer, half the time there were four or five kids playing.
Mm-hmm.
We got together, you got eight, nine guys together, and you played baseball, or you shagged fly balls. play has evolved so that it doesn't happen unless we parents are there.
Mm-hmm. Michelle.
Yeah, and I can respect that viewpoint, and, you know, there's points to that, but I think there are also influences impacting children's health from the nutritional choices that are offered within the school, that are offered by parents within the household, and kind of what are the overall trends of what kids are intaking nutritionally.
Yeah. I think there has been a difference in terms of the numbers of times in a week when we frequent fast food restaurants. Our lives are much busier, both parents working, than they were 20 years ago. And I don't know if there are studies on that. I'm sure there must be, but I would expect that our intake of that kind of food has gone up.
Dramatically. And I'm not going to be able to cite the numbers off the top of my head here, but the number of available fast food restaurants has only skyrocketed in the last 30 years, which means that we have greater availability to it. And also the study is looking at the amount of money that we spend on food consumed away from the home, mm-hmm. which is generally going to be less healthy for us. That has also only skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm. But Jim certainly makes a valid point. You don't see as many young people out playing anymore.
No. And there may not be as much concern in the Oshkosh area, but I know definitely with some of the families that we work with within the Milwaukee area, there's concern about safety for that outdoor play, which is also really unfortunate.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim, for your call. We go to Kathy next from Waupaca. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Boy, this reminds me of some experiences when I was younger. I come from a family that's, well, let's put it this way, we tend to be on the heavy side. I'm one of the few in my family who isn't heavy, but I do know that you know, doing this broadcasting of kids' BMI is similar to the little pre-puberty classes they used to give the girls when I was in grade school, and they'd weigh everybody and how tall are you, and invariably, if you weighed more than your friends, boy, you just felt like poo.
Mm-hmm.
You just and it seems it's more of the same American philosophy. We're doing this for your own good, but we have to make you ashamed of yourself to help you do better.
Mm-hmm.
Does it seem that way to you?
And it would also certainly be portrayed to the student in how the students were measured in order to calculate the BMI. You would hope that it's not everyone there standing in the locker room and just in a line, one after one, standing on the scale and being measured for their height. But you hope that it would be done with some privacy, but you know, I think you know, it's really how it's going to be portrayed and conducted within the school, and how damaging it could be to the students.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for taking.
Thanks,
my call.
Kathy. Thanks for the call. Kate is next from Nina. Hi, Kate.
Good morning. I have several thoughts. I'll try to be really brief. You know, I have a 12-year-old daughter. She's a teeny tiny little kid compared to all of her peers and what have you. And she got, in our school district, we did get all this BMI reporting.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, and the trunk lift and the stretching and this, that, and the other thing. She plays a lot, and I'll make that other gentleman really happy. Our kids in this neighborhood play outside all the time.
Great.
And they really don't come in except for, like, Band-Aids and water. Erin, my daughter did not pass the flexibility test. And you have to sit down, and then your fingertips have to reach past your toes, and then they measure how many inches past your toes.
Mm.
And so she's not flexible. I mean, it infuriated me because she's all upset about not passing the fitness exam.
Mm.
And she is fit as a, believe me, I mean, and she runs around and plays a lot. But the reason I actually called, I am in the business, so I cannot speak officially for the business, but I am in the weight loss industry as I'm employed. And for many years, by the way, my experience has been all of this diet mentality and these quantitative measurements are completely missing the points. And if anything, the response to this is actually making the problem worse. So if we have all these measurements that are quote-unquote correct or desirable, then that means other measurements obviously are not going to be. And then the person's mentality alone is, oh, geez, I'm not okay. And obviously with a lot of obesity is related to lack of coping skills. And then without those skills, they don't know how to respond to all this information. So I think some of this quantitative data is just ridiculous. And then to fail a little girl who's not real flexible, it's ridiculous. So my point is, I think so much of this diet mentality is damaging people instead of getting down to the root causes of just let's eat more healthful food.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, be a little more active in ways that make you comfortable. So if you, prescribe these, even in our school, they have treadmills and those heart monitors.
Mm-hmm.
So this just really irked me. They get the kids on these treadmills and they say, you have to work out so many so calories because that equates to...
Oh, my gosh.
That equates to a Mountain Dew. It is the response to this problem. It's bringing humiliating information, or therefore, if I drink a Mountain Dew, therefore I am bad.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the other thing about the schools is some of the food companies, some of the school districts in the area have changed food companies. Now, this is what I understand now. Our food company within our school is going to be starting breakfast. And I respect that there's probably kids out there who don't get breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
That their families cannot provide, I don't know what the deal is, but there's some people who obviously have trouble getting breakfast, and I can understand that that's good. However, at our house, when we're eating Cheerios and Clementines, if my kid went to school and was tempted by a Pop-Tart, I can understand that my kid may choose the Pop-Tart.
Right.
So, I kind of look at it as, are people making money off this? Is it the people who make treadmills and the people who make heart rate monitors and these, prescriptions to get on an incline of 0.20 and go 22 minutes at 80% of your heart rate,
right,
and therefore you'll be okay.
Yeah.
And that's just another thing to schedule into your already too busy life, when you don't have,
when some of the information is just kind of basic, eat healthy and get some exercise. Well, she makes a lot of valid points, Michelle.
And I was just thinking of several comments as she was making her points. And I think that because the schools are now required to measure and evaluate the effectiveness of the wellness policies that they have put in place, the BMI is a relatively simple and easy way that they can report that they have measured the effectiveness and the impact of their wellness policy. How they share that information with the students and with the parents, that is where the fault is coming about, and that it's not being done in a respected manner. In regards to the exercise of having students participate in a physical activity equivalent to the amount of calories in a Mountain Dew, I'm guessing that was just also a misguided good idea by the educator in trying to make a point to the students in how many calories are included within a Mountain Dew and how much physical activity they would need to participate in order to burn that off.
Thanks so much for your call, Kate. Jeff is next from Madison. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
Okay. My comment was just sort of the premise that 15% of kids are overweight, and how that compares to the statistics that we always hear about adult obesity.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like we're trying to push water uphill. 15% is lower than what we usually hear quoted for adults. So it seems to me like the kids are doing better. And I'm just wondering, are we focusing on the wrong thing? Should we be focusing on the overall health of families rather than specifically on kids? I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Michelle?
Specifically, and just for historical perspective, in the last 20 to 30 years, the rates of pediatric overweight have more than doubled. So it is an increasing concern, and even though we can look at the proportion of students who are young children who are considered overweight at this point, if you also take into consideration those that are at risk of becoming overweight, then you're looking at now more than one-third of the students are in that range. So it's not as bad as the adult world yet, but they are gaining speed faster than the rates within the adult world, and it's not a game where we want the children to catch up in.
No, it certainly isn't. But, I mean, when you go to, like, a seventh grade basketball game, for instance, you know, and you see that some of the kids on the basketball team are a little bit heavier than others, but you look up in the stands and you look at their mom and dad, and you can just sort of see their future. I guess that's my point.
Right, right. And I think, you know, you've touched on a very valid recognition that we had also made within the New Kids program, and that is, and all of our treatment within the clinic is certainly family-based, because we can't expect the children to make lifestyle changes if they don't have the support of the family and the supportive environment of their family. And it had narrowed down to five major daily habits that we had noticed within families making a significant contribution, and that has kind of led to a community-based program and promotion that we're heading off now, looking at 3-2-1-0 Blast Off to a Healthier Family, where the 3 is representing meal consistency and eating at least 3 meals a day, 2 hours or limiting your sedentary activity to only 2 hours a day, 1 being engaging in at least 1 hour of physical activity each day, 0 being limiting your sweetened beverages or eliminating them if at all possible, and the family, bringing the family back to the table to try to have family meals, to have that connectedness and that time together.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, thanks so much for your call. If you've been trying to get through, now would be a good time for you to try again, because a couple lines are open right now. We're looking at what school districts are doing to address the rate of childhood obesity, the number of children who easily could become obese because they're quite overweight. School districts are required, those that participate in the federal school lunch program, to have some kind of wellness policy in place at this point in time. They were required to have such a policy at the beginning of the last school year. And there are a number of rather controversial programs that are taking place. Some news reports yesterday indicating that some school districts are reporting students' body mass scores, and they're doing this as they continue to serve pizza for breakfast, which makes you wonder, wait a second, isn't there something wrong with this picture? But the response has been somewhat mixed on the part of parents and students, who feel somewhat embarrassed by their body mass index being, first of all, they're not understanding what it is, and maybe it's too high, and so as a result they stop eating, and that's not good. The overall question is, how do we address wellness? How do we address this issue of childhood obesity and overweight in our society? And how are school districts doing just that? So, 800-486-8655. Michelle Smith-Beckley is our guest, a clinical dietitian at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, where she's been working on pediatric overweight, and she has been working with a new kids program, a new program to address prevention and community needs. More phone calls from you in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After the news from National Public Radio, at 10 o'clock we'll be looking at No Child Left Behind, which is 5 years old today. How is the program working? Is student achievement going up? Have we been closing achievement gaps? We'll look at that after 10. All right, let's return to your phone calls. Bob from Wauwatosa is our next caller. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. I have a helpful hint for those people who might want to use the body mass index as a guideline for their proper weight. As Kathleen, you and probably your guests know, that formula for the body mass index originally involved taking your weight in kilograms and dividing it by your height in meters squared. And that's not a calculation that most people are going to walk around doing in their heads.
Yeah, you could say that again.
Much less, or even on a calculator. So I did the math, and this would be very easy for your guest. Probably has the body mass index chart before her, and this would be very easy for her to check. But the easy way to do this, to figure out your body mass index, is simply to take your weight in pounds and divide that by your height in inches squared, and multiply by 703.
Huh.
That's the conversion factor from metric to English measurements. That is the weight in pounds and height in inches.
Uh-huh.
So it's weight in pounds divided by your height in inches squared. And most people can, you know, that's, I mean, it's easy to, pretty easy to convert feet to inches.
Mm-hmm.
Weight in pounds divided by height in inches squared multiplied by 703.
Okay.
And this is accurate to a small fraction of one. You know, 23 versus 24 or whatever. I mean, this is within a tenth of one body mass index unit.
Okay.
So that's kind of handy. I'm sure there's some place I haven't looked for it, but I'm sure you can find a body mass index chart on the web somewhere. I'm sure there's.
I'm sure.
But this is easy to do.
There are many, many, countless web resources as far as calculating body mass index, and to the point where you don't even have to do a calculation, where you can enter either metric or English measurements and then hit the button to say calculate, and it will provide you with your body mass index.
Hmm.
Specific for pediatric populations, if parents are looking for more information, I would gear them to the CDC website, cdc.gov, and you can just enter into their search engine, pediatric or child BMI, and it will also do the calculation of the BMI for parents, but it is then also going to essentially plot it for them or provide them a range based on their age and letting parents know if it's kind of within the healthy range, underweight, overweight. But then I think also always remembering that this needs to be used in context of what their previous growth pattern was. And if they are concerned about their child's weight status, going and talking with the child's primary care doctor and comparing that to the trend that has been plotted over the last number of years. And mm-hmm. Is it changing? Is the child gaining more weight faster than they're growing taller? And have that discussion with their primary mm-hmm. care doctor.
Thanks, Bob, so much for your call. We go to Marilyn next from Middleton. Hi, Marilyn.
Oh, hi. I just heard several comments about fast food and how bad it is. And I just wanted to mention that as families go to fast food restaurants, there are some that are really have made an attempt. McDonald's has great salads. Subway has a wrap that will substitute for all that bread that's totally very fiber-filled and healthy, and you can have the same thing. And then Hardee's has a burger in a bun, and in lettuce. You wrap lettuce around the burger, and that's the way it's served. And I just think that families can help kids see that they come out better using those. And also, if the fast food restaurants are used in the school, perhaps the schools could advocate that those healthful varieties are emphasized. And I just wondered if that has been happening at all.
And certainly within any fast food or sit-down restaurant that you can go to, there's going to be a variety of food options available. And some restaurants have made a larger attempt in trying to offer more healthful options for consumers. I think the greater concern lies in that we continue to consume more of our meals away from home where the portion sizes tend to be larger. Therefore, we're going to be getting more calories and greater inclusion of the unhealthy types of fats and higher sodium contents. And it's not to say that we're never or should never eat a meal away from the home again, but that we really need to look at the balance of how we're including those along with healthfully prepared meals at home.
Yeah. Well, how do you go about changing your palate, too? Because those restaurants do offer some healthy choices, but if you talk to teenagers and a lot of adults as well, they like the taste of, you know, quarter pounder with a big thing of fries and a chocolate milkshake.
Right. And I think, it's Not to say that you can't have a quarter pounder, you can't have a milkshake, but if that is what you're going to choose when you go out to eat, looking at how often that you are going to go out to eat, and then also looking at other aspects of your health during the day. Are you also including physical activity? Are you limiting sedentary activity time?
Mm-hmm.
Are you including fruits and vegetables and whole grains and dairy sources?
Right. Thanks so much, Marilyn, for your call. We go to Sharon from Appleton next. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, how are you?
I'm okay. I'd like to comment on some of the things that I see. I'm a pediatrician in Wisconsin, and I am battling with this daily. And what I have found is that the schools are doing as darn good job as they can. And I just echo the sentiments of some of the other callers. I've just jumped in. But the amount of calories these kids consume from the minute they get home from school till the time they go to bed is astronomical.
Mm.
And they can eat a great breakfast at school and eat a great lunch at school, but when they get home from school, it's just a feeding frenzy. And I really think the families, I mean, maybe the parents should have to go to school and sit in the same health class as the children, because it's just not, the school's just going to be spinning their wheels. And these kids are not exposed to good food when they get home. They're not exposed to portion control when they get home. They're not exposed to exercise when they get home. And I just echo the frustration of a lot of my coworkers with this problem. You talk to the parents, and they just look at you blankly.
Hmm.
And a lot of parents don't start worrying about their child's weight, I have found, until the child has high insulin levels or high blood pressure. Then there's an issue. And by that point, it's darn near impossible to get a child to lose weight.
Hmm.
And I just don't know if the guest is also experiencing that.
Michelle.
And I think that, you know, brings me back to one of the original points that I made, is because there are so many contributing factors to pediatric overweight, that it's going to need the attention and the focus from that many factors also. It's going to need the attention of the schools. It's going to need the attention of the students, and it's going to need the attention of the parents. If you feel that the schools are doing a wonderful job in making changes there, continue to applaud and support them, because they've definitely taken on a big challenge. And otherwise, I think, you know, it's beginning to highlight to those other areas that are involved in the child's life that, you know, they're also having an impact on the child's health.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I just need to get that off my chest, because it's very, very frustrating.
I understand. It must be. It must be. So where have you seen success, Sharon?
I'm sorry?
Where have you seen success among your patients?
I have seen just a handful of children actually lose weight, and it comes from a really strong family and a very committed family, and we have a really good weight loss program up in our area. The problem is the resources to get into this weight loss program are limited, and there's just nowhere to go with this. Families can't do it on their own. I've had a couple of kids who have made changes when we start talking about how their weight is starting to go up. As soon as their weight starts going up, if you hit them at the right time, I see the kids stabilize. But the ones who are just spinning out of control just never pull out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that we need to remember is, if the children are very young and already classified at risk of overweight or already overweight, if they are still growing, we don't necessarily want them to lose weight,
right,
but just to continue to maintain their weight, and hopefully that through the calculation is going to bring the BMI into a more healthy range.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it is more of a teenager and they are overweight, then we can look at you know, kind of modest weight loss goals, but just even more establishment of the healthy habits so they don't develop the high blood pressure and the elevated insulin. But I think your experience totally rings true, and it depends on the committedness of the family and the family to make the change. That's the exact same experience that we've had within our multidisciplinary treatment here at Children's Hospital, mm-hmm, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I just don't know if the primary care doctor doesn't get to them. I just don't know how many kids actually have success when going to a tertiary care center as well, and I was just wondering if you guys have any experience with that. I mean, is your success rate as good as out in the field?
I don't know the numbers as far as in exact comparison to other programs, but in the recent calculations that we've done, about two-thirds of our enrolled families will either maintain or lower their body mass index, or BMI, and have an improvement or resolution in their medical-related comorbidities, such as elevated blood pressure, elevated insulin, and elevated cholesterol numbers.
Yeah. It's just hard out here.
Thanks, Sharon, for
your
call.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
We're going to go to, is it Portia from Green Bay?
That is it.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question just about, I know ever since I've grown up, I've heard from different people, you know, do kids have a problem with conflicts of interest with, like, you're hearing from some people that, you know, you're never going to look like a supermodel, and the portrayal of women in the media is so unreal, and that you're never going to achieve a body type like that. And then on some other sides, you know, they're stressing the importance of, you know, losing weight and trying to be healthy. Is there some kind of happy medium between the two, like boosting self-esteem and controlling weight loss at the same time? Do you understand what I'm asking? It's kind of difficult, you know what
I mean? Let me see if I'm understanding it correctly. It's just more of the encouragement of establishing healthy lifestyles for students in order to achieve and maintain a healthy weight.
Right, and is that hard balancing that with, school programs asking their kids to lose weight, you know, and stressing healthy habits, and at the same time telling them that, you know, the portrayal of the women that you see on TV and in magazines is, you know, unrealistic, an unrealistic goal for them. Is there something that you can...
Right. Well, I don't think the aim of current school wellness policies is necessarily to encourage students to lose weight, because there are certainly those students that are at a healthy weight, and we want to encourage them to stay there. But I think the wellness policies are more addressing the environment and the education offered to the students to gear them more towards that healthy lifestyle that they can live from day to day.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call. We go to Jody from Eau Claire. Hi, Jody.
Hi, sorry. I'm probably going to frustrate both your guests and your other callers. I do not find this program helpful in the way that you're describing it at all. I, frankly, I'm frustrated with the whole conversation.
What's the problem?
This is supposed to be a program on wellness, and it seems to have focused only on weight.
The program is, let me just tell you what we're doing, that we found these news reports yesterday that looked at wellness programs which school districts need to implement because Congress mandated it, so they had to be in place last fall. And what we're looking at is the focus on weight, and many school districts sending home body mass index reports with their students, and whether or not that's good or bad, or the other ways to address wellness. But we're looking at what school districts are doing.
I guess that's what I find. I would be entirely opposed to the idea of sending home body mass calculations with children. This is medical information. Obviously, schools are not medical facilities. Are they following HIPAA rules? Can children refuse to participate in this program? When I go to the doctor, I can refuse to have my weight assessed. What about other aspects of the wellness program? There's certainly a lot more to be said than just assessing weight. This isn't what I pay taxes for. When I send my kids to public school, I'm not intending them to, if there's a problem, wouldn't it be appropriate to send the information home with the parent and they can seek the medical advice that they need? I think this just sets children up for a lot of humiliation. There's so many different contributing factors to what's going on with their weight. It seems to me that the goal should be focused on fitness. How strong do they want to be? Do they want to be able to run across the field at a certain amount of time? I just find the program really objectionable.
Well, I'm not sure what you find objectionable, but we're trying to address the issue. I'm sorry, Jody. We're doing the best we can. But let's look at what schools are doing to give people an understanding, students an understanding of what wellness is. There are a lot of those kinds of programs, aren't there, Michelle?
Yes, and the point to remember is that every school district, and even within some of the larger school districts, they have broken it down to be specific to every school within their district, has written a wellness policy that took effect with the beginning of this school year. who was involved in writing that wellness policy usually varies from school district to school district.
Right.
And what input they took from community members or parents or other health professionals also varies from district to district. So I would encourage that caller to investigate, you know, what is the existing wellness policy for her school. And my guess is that it's a very small minority of schools actually within Wisconsin that are measuring the BMI for
right.
students and sending that home. But if that is a thought or plan of your school district, then as a parent, you certainly have your voice to use mm-hmm. in expressing your viewpoint on how you think that should be done and if it should be done and who that information should be shared with.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a very interesting hour, and we learned a lot more about what districts are doing to address the wellness issue. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Michelle Smith-Beckley, she is clinical dietitian at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and has worked with a multidisciplinary team for management of pediatric overweight. We did this on wellness because of some news reports that have been surfacing this week looking at what school districts are doing. They are required to come up with wellness plans. Congress has required them to do this, and what kinds of plans they have put into effect. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour and to John Treader for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. And thanks for listening, everybody. News is ahead, and we'll return with more Tuesday conversation on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.